From the book of John, chapter 18, verse 33, beginning with verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did the others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. So do you know that in 2 weeks it's going to be New Year's Day? Yeah. In 2 weeks we start Advent, which is the beginning of the Christian calendar. So it's the new year of the Christian year. Now, as I was telling Annie that next week the United Methodist Women will be doing their World Thank Sunday, and so I decided to celebrate Christ the King Sunday a week early today. And I wanted to ask you, when you think of the image of a king, what do you think of? What images come to mind when you think of a king? We like to you know, call Jesus our friend. We like to call him our brother, our, you know, someone who walks beside us in life, someone to go to for comfort and advice. Some people picture Jesus as a good shepherd who gently guides us and leads us, a gentle Savior who goes after the lost and finds them and the injured and carries them home. But what about king? When you think of a king, what comes to mind? Some of our images are from fairy tales and from movies. We picture old men with beards. Or maybe when you hear the word king, you think of the game King of the Hill. The most powerful and the strongest get to lead and get to be king. Or maybe when you hear the word king, you think of checkers and the king just bouncing all over the place, taking over. Perhaps when you hear the word king, you think of Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Woo-hoo! My voice isn't high enough for that this morning. Or for you older folks, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, right? Those of you who are already thinking about lunch might be thinking about King Crab Legs. Or maybe a king-sized Burger King meal, right? Or do you picture people like King Herod, King Arthur? Maybe you think of Lord of the Rings and the kings there, or the Game of Thrones, or Henry VIII. Most likely when you picture, though, Jesus, the image of king isn't the first thing that comes to mind. It's not your favorite image of Jesus. It's not even in your top five. The fact is that the idea of a kingship is alien to most of us, especially we Americans. Although we have heard what it's like to live under a king, I don't know that there's anyone here this morning who's actually experienced that. As a matter of fact, 243 years ago, our ancestors fought a war that we wouldn't have to know what that was like. Some people think we should get rid of the kingly imagery altogether because it harkens back to an oppressive era. However, ironically, it is in this imagery and language, in the mystery of Christ's kingship, that we find our true freedom. Jesus is king because he is the Son of God. He is the creator of all things, and that gives him power and authority over all of his creation. Jesus was raised up and glorified and set on a throne and given a name that is above all names because he redeemed all of creation through his unselfish sacrifice on the cross. By taking on our human nature, he restored our image in God. By becoming human and taking our sin, Jesus restored peace between us and God. Jesus is also king because he is the lawgiver and judge. He is the source of the law, and he showed us how to perfectly be obedient to the law. And one day he will return and he will be our judge. And I think what I've just talked about is the deeper issue here when we think of Jesus as king. We know kings are people who have authority over others. And those other people are to obey and be loyal to the king and only to the king. And we in the 21st century, especially in the United States, we don't like this idea. We don't like the idea of obedience, of someone telling us what to do. The real issue of the idea of Christ as king is that we don't want anyone being lord of our lives except us. So when we picture Jesus as shepherd, as brother, as teacher, as healer, we focus on the love and grace and goodness of Christ. And that's a good thing, but it's not all. See, in a couple of weeks, we will begin to celebrate Advent and moving into Christmas. And we're going to sing, this is Christ the King, and glory to the newborn King. And a few months later, we're going to sing hymns such as Christ the Lord is risen today, in which we will proclaim, lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. And songs like, He lives. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ our King. But when we sing that, do we mean that? What are we professing when we sing those beloved hymns? You see, we accept him as a baby king. We accept him as a resurrected king. But what about a reigning, sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the ruler of all the kings of the earth, the King who the one who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to be. We don't care for these images as much. We much prefer the shepherd, the teacher, the one with little children sitting on his knee, for they make Jesus more user-friendly, right? Less daunting, less threatening, less authoritative, less controlling. And these softer images allow us then to kind of rationalize our sinful behavior. We choose what teachings we want to accept and what we're going to ignore. And so we declare ourselves as king, right? King of our lives. No one's going to tell us what to do. It's our life. We can live it the way we want. After all, it's a free country, right? But you know what? No matter what image we place on Jesus, he's still king. We can't erase that. We can't change that. And it was for this reason that Jesus was brought before Pilate. He stood before Pilate and Herod, two men who looked the part, right, of what we think of as a king. They wore fancy robes and crowns. They carried scepters to remind the people of their power and authority. They drank from gold chalices and wore decadent jewelry and sat on impressive thrones. And yet before them stood Jesus, a man dressed in workman's clothes, a teacher's robe, no crown, no scepter of power. And yet inside these men, they trembled, for they could sense Jesus' majesty. They could sense they stood in the presence of greatness. Somewhere deep inside, they knew that he was the king, and that drove fear into them. There used to be a comic strip called The Wizard of Id. How many remember that? And it was about this really tiny, short king who struggled to get respect. And the call of the people, the cry of the people was, "The king is a fink!" Pilate and Herod, they were the finks. Jesus was the true king. Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king, and Jesus didn't deny it. But he made very clear that his kingdom was not of this world. And even though Pilate found no wrong in Jesus, nor found him to be a threat to his authority or to his own throne, his own power, it was for political reasons that he hands Jesus over to be destroyed. But Pilate knew who the true king was. And somewhere inside him, he got up the courage to place a sign above Jesus' head on the cross that said, "The King of the Jews." And when the religious leaders complained and said, "Don't say that," Pilate said, "I have written what I have written." Because he knew. He knew who the true king was. And he was nothing like anyone thought a king should be. He was greater. He was greater. Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world and indicated that he did not function like a king of this world. His was a better kingship. His was the perfect kingship, one that they could never, never emulate. They wore crowns of authority, and Jesus wore a crown of grace. They wore robes of royalty and separation, and Jesus wore robes of the common man that united. They carried scepters of power and swords, and he carried a basin and a towel. They demanded that the people serve them, and Jesus said, "No, let me serve you." And if we proclaim that this is Christ the King, and eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, then it is this King. It is Jesus that we are to obey, Jesus that we are to imitate. And my friends, if we will follow this servant king, we will also find in him the shepherd, the healer, the teacher, and the loving Savior. Jesus is a king, but he's a different kind of king than what we're used to. He's not a king of gold and riches. He's not a king of militaries. He's the King of heaven, the King of kings, the King of love. And he wants to be king of your heart and life. Will you give your allegiance to this king? Will you follow this king? My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.